How is it going, guys? Welcome back to another episode of HQI Sports. In this episode, I'll be talking about all the recent postponements of games due to the Jacob Blake shooting that happened in Wisconsin a few days ago. Then I'll be talking about Lucas Giolito throwing the first no-hitter of the MLB season, as well as the MLB season update in general. And then at the end, I'll get into Lionel Messi finally leaving Barcelona after so many years. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and let's get straight to it.
Chiefs Kingdom.
Of the year. He drives one. Deep left field. That goes up to back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. Curry. Way downtown. Bang. Bang. Oh, what a shot from Curry.
Thank you guys so much. I love you.
And once again, guys, welcome back to HQI Sports. Thank you so much for listening again. Before I dive into this episode, just want to say, be sure to go follow my Instagram account and Twitter account. My Instagram account is just HQI Sports. My Twitter account is HQI underscore sports. Be sure to go follow those for more daily content, as well as information about when I'll upload next. Without further ado, let's get straight into this episode. And actually, before we get into this episode, I do want to say just really quickly that I did record this episode while a massive thunderstorm is hitting my house. So if you do hear any like lightning or thunder in the background, I do apologize. I will try to cut out as much as that as I can from my clips. If you do hear anything, I do apologize, but you know, what can you really do about it? So I am sorry if you hear that, but let's continue. Now, obviously, for this episode, the first topic we are going to be talking about is you know, all the recent postponements of games due to the Jacob Blake shooting. As I'm recording this on Thursday, all the stuff happened basically on Wednesday and a little bit today. They just announced that all NBA playoff games are again canceled for Thursday, but they will resume on Friday. So that is some good news. But I have no quarrel with any the decisions made to postpone any of the games. I actually pretty much support them. The whole situation with Black Lives Matter and the whole shooting in Wisconsin is just so sad, and I'm a full supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement. If you're not, I tell you to stop listening to this podcast immediately. Everyone should be a supporter of Black Lives Matter. It's not even a debate. But on Wednesday, we saw a ton of action, and that's what I'm going to break down right now. So all this started early or kind of late afternoon on Wednesday, and we had heard that Boston and Toronto were thinking about boycotting their Game 1 series because they already won their previous series. But then we saw right before Milwaukee and Orlando were scheduled to play that Milwaukee just never took the floor. And there was plenty of coverage on it that Orlando was warming up and ready to go, but Milwaukee just never showed up. And then eventually Orlando was just kind of forced to go back to their locker room. And that was the first postponement of a game that we saw. And then soon after the Milwaukee-Orlando game was postponed, then all the dominoes fell and we saw tons of games. We saw the whole WNBA shut down for the day, and then we also had the rest of the NBA playoffs shut down on Wednesday. And then we also saw three MLB games not being played. It was the Brewers and Reds didn't play, Seattle versus San Diego didn't play, and then the Dodgers game was postponed as well. And then the clip that has been going around a lot that was really touching to me was when Kenny the Jet Smith on NBA TNT just walked off the set just as he stated live that he just was not going to do the show because he just wasn't in the right frame of mind. And once again, completely support Kenny the Jet Smith to do that. This is obviously such a hard time. The whole year has just been really tough in general. Just mentally and just everything is just, you know, it feels like you really can't catch your breath now. But, you know, obviously I'm in full support of whatever they come up against or whatever they decide to do. But as of now, when I'm recording this, it actually looks like they're going to be coming back fairly soon, pretty much tomorrow, which is good to see. I mean, you can't really blame anyone for what the decision they make because, you know, I'm just me and I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not a black person. So I really have no say, and I shouldn't. I can't help but feel so much guilt sometimes as a white man. So basically, whatever decision happens and whatever action takes place, I'm basically in full support, and everyone else should definitely be in support with me. But also, I think it's also really important, especially as sports fans, to just kind of take a step back. And obviously, this is a tough time, but also kind of acknowledge that you're likely seeing something that might not happen again for at least a few decades, or, well, actually, hopefully never. I mean, these movements shouldn't even have to happen. We shouldn't have the racism problem that we do in America, and this is why they're doing this. But this is definitely a moment that will go down in history when, you know, professional athletes literally took a stand and said, we're not playing because you're not respecting us the way we should be treated. And while it is, you know, just tough in general, it is kind of beautiful to see, you know, how much power these players really truly have and how much influence they can have. Because, you know, you wouldn't, you know, because a lot of people want to keep, you know, like politics and sports separate. And I totally see that and do agree in some ways. But also, you can't just ignore politics completely. These players are not just athletes. They're also people when they're off the court. And these issues that are being brought up within, you know, Wisconsin and a few months back in Minnesota with George Floyd, they all affect us. And especially these players who are, you know, having to go through these struggles every day. So basically what I'm saying is that everyone should be in full support of whatever decision that these players decide to do. And anyone who criticizes these players for postponing the games and, you know, speaking their mind about politics and just telling these players, you know, to play the game and not speak their mind, I honestly don't have any respect for you, because these players are so much more than just athletes. They are smart, intelligent human beings who have a platform and need to use it, and that is exactly what they're doing. And I give full props to all the players who are speaking out right now. So if you want to know my opinion, that's my opinion. I kind of laid it down pretty clearly there. I want to hear what you guys think about the whole situation, because, you know, I feel like people in these times really are kind of scared to speak out, because, you know, there's a lot of criticism, especially on social media. But I want to hear what everyone has to say. I might not agree with it, but, you know, it is important to kind of voice how you feel in these tough times. So I would like to hear what you guys think about the whole situation, but you know, hopefully they can come to a conclusion. They are scheduled to play starting Friday, most teams, especially the NBA, so that's good to see. But you know, let's kind of move on from this topic. You know, it's a little depressing, so let's kind of focus on something more positive. And let's do that after this short break. And I'll be talking about Lucas Giolito and his awesome comeback story and him throwing the first no-hitter of the season. All right, so back on Tuesday, Lucas Giolito threw the first no-hitter of the 2020 season, a season that will never be forgotten due to how just unfamiliar it's been. And he did it. He threw the no-hitter against the Pirates. Got the stats here. 13 strikeouts, 1 walk, 4-0 victory. What a game from Lucas Giolito. And I wanted to cover this, obviously, because it's the first no-hitter, but there's actually a lot more of a story than you might realize at first glance. Now, for anyone who's unfamiliar with Lucas Giolito, and it's quite possible that you are unfamiliar, because only a few years ago, Lucas Giolito was one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Not even joking. His stats, this is for his 2018 season. Listen to these stats. ERA of 6.13, and also threw 90 walks that season as a starting pitcher. Which for anyone who doesn't really know, that is really bad. That is really bad. And there's actually an article about it, about how that's one of the worst statistical seasons for a starting pitcher in baseball. It's incredible. And then you continue to read this article, and it actually breaks down how Lucas Giolito, after that 2018 season, just completely changed his mechanics, and learned how to throw again, essentially. Changing, how his motion and, his release point, all that stuff. And then comes back in 2019 and becomes an all-star. He completely changes his career, has some incredible numbers. And then 2020 hits this season, and what do you know? He throws a no-hitter, first one of the 2020 season. And as a sports fan, you can't deny that that's just an incredible story. That's almost like a movie. And the White Sox have been playing really well this season. I just picked them to win the Central. They're not leading the division yet, but they're very close. Then my poor Royals are just awful, just like usual. But I really like to cover these stories because I think they are not covered enough, and I think they deserve more spotlight than they're given. Not that my channel has that much spotlight, but we'll get there eventually. But then also, I actually had realized that I hadn't really covered too much baseball in the past few episodes. So, why not do a season update after I made some predictions? And so that's what I'm going to do right now. So basically what I'm going to do is just cover, where each division stands right now. And then some of the statistical leaders actually reach pretty much the halfway point of the season, which is incredible since it's only a 60-game season pretty much. So let's start right now. So let's start with the AL East, a division that I predicted that the Yankees were going to be winning. And the Yankees are close, but as of right now, Tampa Bay is leading the AL East. And, I'm not going to say it's from a point where it's because the Yankees have underperformed. The record is still very good. I just probably didn't give the Rays enough credit. Ever since they kind of changed their philosophy. They have just been a really solid team. I still think the Yankees are going to end up winning the division because I just think their team is just way too talented. So if they deal with any injuries, they really are not in trouble. And I just kind of trust their coaching staff a little bit more. So I still think the Yankees are going to win the division as the season comes to an end. Now on to the AL Central. Once again, just like last year, Minnesota is winning the division. It is very close. The Indians and White Sox are really close. This was a division that I predicted that the White Sox were going to win as the season came to an end. And the White Sox are very close, just kind of like the Yankees are to the Rays. And do I see the White Sox still winning the division? I do, but I think Minnesota definitely outperformed what I thought they were going to do. They obviously had a really good year last year, made the playoffs and all that. And they still are pretty good. They have had to play my Royals quite a bit, and they have beat them up quite a bit. So maybe once they face some a little better competition, that will change. But I do think the White Sox and Twins will be the top two teams in this division. And I do think the White Sox do pull away at the end. Now on to the AL West. And this is the division that has pretty much been owned since the season has started by the Oakland Athletics. And the Oakland Athletics are the best team in baseball by record as far as when I'm recording this episode right now on Thursday. I think they'll still be when I post this. But Oakland has been really good this year, just from top to bottom, just really solid play. And I think it's also been a combination that just the AL West just continues to underperform. Not in all areas, obviously. Houston, let's not even dive into Houston. Who knows how good they really are with all the cheating stuff. But the team that obviously comes into mind is the Angels, who yet again just find a way to underperform once again every single year. Just can't put the pieces together. just absolutely crazy. Not even saying they have to be the best team in baseball, but better than what they are right now. So yeah, Oakland has absolutely manhandled the AL West so far this season, and I don't expect that to change as the season continues. Then on to the National League, and we'll start at the NL East. The NL East is now being won by Atlanta. I did have Washington winning that division when I did my predictions. I do think they still could. The division is being won by Atlanta, but everyone is, you know, like not that far apart. I do think the Braves will end up winning it, so I will get that one wrong. But I do think the Nationals still have a chance. You know, Juan Soto is one player, but, you know, I think he can change an entire team. I think he's that good. But Atlanta's kind of the more complete team right now. So I do say Atlanta probably wins that division as the season, you know, comes to an end. And then on to the NL Central. This was a division that had the Brewers winning, but right now the Cubs are winning it. The Brewers, I don't think, are too far apart when I last checked, but the Cubs have been playing really well. They were the hottest baseball team to start the season. I think they were like 10-2 to start the season. So they're very good this year. Could the Brewers still win it? Yes, but I do think the Cubs will probably win the division at the end. And then finally, we have the NL West. And as I didn't want to be basic and just pick the Dodgers, so I picked the Diamondbacks as a sneaky team. Obviously, the Dodgers are winning the NL West. Their team is just way too good. The Dodgers will pretty much likely have no trouble in securing the division. But before we move on for baseball, let's actually dive into some of the statistical leaders that have done really well to start off the season as we hit the halfway point. Let's start off with who is leading the league in batting average, who is like a very, very talented player, and that is second baseman from the Yankees, DJ LeMahieu. That stat is a little bit, not biased, but fully deserving, as LeMahieu has been on the he's been on the DL for a little bit with I think he hurt his finger, but right now he's batting over 400, which is just crazy. So I think we gotta give him a little bit of respect for that. And then who is leading the league in home runs? It is Chicago White Sox, Jose Abreu. He's leading the league with 12 home runs so far. And then there's like Aaron Judge, who's right behind him, and a few other players. But Jose Abreu had one of the greatest hot streaks of the season, or in the past few seasons, with he hit, I think it was like 6 home runs in like 1 week or something like that. Absolutely crazy. And right now he's also leading the league in RBIs with 30 RBIs. So he was another player why I think the White Sox will end up winning the AL Central this year. No disrespect to Minnesota. They are a pretty good team. Nelson Cruz has been absolutely on a tear, especially against my Royals, Jesus Christ. But I do think the White Sox are just kind of the team to you know, win the division late with Lewis Robert. Maybe Lucas Giolito keeps throwing the way he does. And obviously Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson. Their team is really good this year. And then lastly, I like to do this one as well, because obviously one of my favorite players is Whit Merrifield, and he always leads the league in hits every year, or at least the past 2 years, he's led the league in hits, which is just crazy. So I do like to cover who is leading the league in hits. And so far this year, it is Charlie Blackmon of the Rockies, and he's leading the league in hits with 45 hits this year. Doesn't sound like a lot, but there really hasn't been that many games, and that's pretty impressive if you think about it. I mean, there's only been around like 27 or around 30 games, and he has 45 hits, and you do the math, that's over a hit a game, and that's really impressive. And then after this short break, I'll be getting into Lionel Messi finally leaving Barcelona after so many years with the club, and then where I think he might go next. So over the past week, I'd say, there have been a lot of talk about Lionel Messi after Barcelona had been knocked out of the Champions League, wanting out after so many years of playing for them. And a few days ago, it was then confirmed that Messi would be officially leaving the club, not announcing where he'd be going to next, but actually announcing that he would be no longer playing for Barcelona. Now, for a player of Messi's caliber, who I believe, and I think most people believe, is still pretty much in his prime. I mean, I think it could be said that he's probably going down a little bit, but is still easily one of the best players in the world, and quite possibly one of the best players of all time, if not the best. A player of his caliber is only going to go to probably one of the only a handful of teams, because I've seen some talk about how him potentially joining the MLS, which I don't see that at all. The MLS is so far beneath him, and he's not even close to you know playing for the MLS and retiring. He's nowhere near that stage of his career. He's still one of the greatest players in the world. So there's no way he's going to the MLS. But recently I've seen that probably the leader to land Messi is Manchester City of all teams. Now, that's no dig to Manchester City. They have been one of the best teams in the world, especially in the Premier League the last few years. But they have kind of emerged as the favorite to land the Argentinian star. Now, do I think he's going to go to Manchester City? Based off what I've seen, I actually do think it's pretty likely. It's just probably not one of the teams I would have immediately suspected. If he does go to Manchester City, what a sign for the Premier League. My God, the amount of revenue they'll bring in with that. And that's not even to say that they're not bringing in a lot right now. The Premier League is, you know, probably brings in some of the most money in any sports league in the world. So it's just going to be so different for Messi, even if he doesn't sign Manchester City, not being in a Barcelona uniform. It's not even fathomable for me, actually. But he is going to be absolutely incredible for whatever team he plays for. That's how good of a player Messi is. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that I know a ton about soccer or football. But I do follow it rather closely. Definitely not as closely as my other sports, but, you know, I do follow it. And, you know, I would say, I guess my overall opinion on the whole situation is that, you know, Messi is finally going to be able to choose, you know, who he's going to play for. And I really hope he doesn't get criticized for it. You know, he's never really had to do this before. You know, Ronaldo, you know, kind of his rival, he has left his club quite a few times. You know, he's played for Sporting Lisbon and Man United and Real Madrid, and now he's on Juventus. Could Messi potentially go to the Serie A and or Calcio A? I never know what the Italian league is called each year, but I think Messi is still at the prime of his game. I generally do think that, and I think wherever he goes, he is going to be the best player on that team by far. So this is a story that I'll definitely be keeping track of. You know. Seeing all the details that come in as he figures out where to go. I don't like to cover it too much because I feel like a lot of at least the European, especially with soccer reporting, is a little bit dodgy. I feel like a lot of the reports are kind of misleading. But so I'm trying to stick to what I know for sure is correct and accurate. So I'm not going to go into it too much, but I definitely think it's noteworthy that the best player in the world, in my opinion, is leaving his club after so many years. So I think it's definitely newsworthy. I hope you guys find it newsworthy as well. But that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate all the support. Be sure to go follow my socials, like I said earlier in the episode. I hope you guys have a great day, and see you guys next time.